Well, hello, Crossing Church, and I also want to say to Fenton and Mid Rivers, it is such a treat to be here with you. I always love coming to the Crossing. I feel like it's family away from home. Jarrett and I both just delight in being able to come and spend a weekend with you each summer. And we also love when you all come to visit us in Chicago. Oftentimes, we'll have families that are up visiting in the city come up and say hi at one of our services. In fact, there was a couple there last weekend, and it was really fun. They were there visiting, and they came, and they said hello, and I was so grateful that they were there because, you know, they were up in Chicago for the Cardinals-Cubs game, and I was so glad that they came to church on Sunday because we were able to minister to them, and they were able to spend some time in our prayer hall. They were grieving and struggling. And so we just felt like it was our way to offer some peace back and forth. We always love when you come, and I promise I'm going to be nice the rest of the sermon. Just had to get that out there. Friends, we had years where we lost and lost and lost, so it's just good to have a year where we won. So it's so great to be here. And as I said, Jarrett loves coming. When he came a few weeks ago, our son came and he loved being here. And so our daughter is feeling left out. She needs to now come on a trip. In fact, they're wondering when they're going to be in the summer lineup as preachers and speakers. Because you get one Stevens, then you get a second Stevens. So I guess you guys just saved the best Stevens for last this summer. And I brought along a picture of our kids. This is Elijah. This is Gigi. They're 11 and 9. And we are now just a day away from our summer break. So this is fun for me to be able to close out my ministry season here and to pull away over the next month with my family to rest and to replenish. But it's just such a blessing to be with you all this weekend. And I want to start out by telling you a little story about our family, actually. One of the things that we love to do is we love to have family movie nights. Anybody else love family movie nights? Yeah. We love family movie nights. And a while ago, we couldn't agree on who was going to pick the movie each time, right? And so here we were trying to create a family night, and we were arguing about which movie we were going to watch. So we started saying, okay, a different person gets to pick the movie. And our kids actually came together a while back and said, well, we want to pick the movie together, and we want to pick a movie that you and Dad liked when you were our age. And so they decided that we were going to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, right? A classic, right? And we made sure that we explained to them that this movie was old. We were not old. The movie was old, but we were young and hip and with it as their parents. And so we decided to watch Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And we were all excited about it, except the second they picked the movie, I had an internal moment where I remembered a scene from that movie that I knew I would not be able to watch. I instantly went back to the first time that I saw the movie, and I had a terrible reaction the first time, and I knew I was gonna have to, you know, vacate and not see this scene again. Do you know which scene I'm talking about? The snakes, right? You just saying it made me feel it again, right? I just knew this scene where Indiana is lowered down into this pit of snakes. The first time I saw it, I just thought, I have got to leave the room. And I knew the second time I was going to see it, I was going to feel the exact same way. And so, you know, from what I understand, I am not the only person that has a phobia of snakes, okay? From what I understand, research shows that literally a third of the world has a phobia of snakes, a fear of snakes. Anybody else here in the room joining me? See, it's about a third of the room. I was correct. I'm going to be meeting you in the lobby afterwards. We're going to have a small group. We're going to support one another through this fear of ours. We're going to get through this together. Well, my kids who, you know, I want to think respect me and honor me as their mother. Instantly, I told them, you know, I can't watch this scene that's in the movie. And so they, of course, started making fun of me and my fear of snakes, right? And they started creating this game called Would You Rather. Do you know what Would You Rather is? Would You Rather is where you create really two scenarios, and both scenarios are bad, right? But you have to pick which scenario you would want to be in, which circumstance is worse than the other. And so they started creating all these would you rather scenes for me and experiences. And so they said, okay, Mom, Would you rather have to swim with a shark for 5 minutes, or would you rather hold a cobra for 5 minutes, right? I was like, me and that shark are doing a synchronized swimming routine. There is no way I would hold a cobra for 5 minutes. Of course I would pick the shark, right? They're like, okay, mom, so here's the next scenario. Would you rather be locked in a room with 25 tarantulas or be locked in a room with 25 snakes? I'm like, me and those tarantulas are best friends, right? There is never a scenario for me. Some of you are like, oh, I would have picked the tarantulas, right? There is never a scenario for me where I would choose a snake. Now, I know that my fear is irrational. I know that it's just a phobia, but in my mind, these are kind of the circumstances that I think to myself, there's no way I would make it through that. And I think for many of us, we have circumstances, experiences, things that we think might happen that in our minds we tell ourselves, there's no way I would do that. There's no way I could make it through that. There's no way I would survive if that circumstance came into my life. And what I want to do is I want to dive into how do we make it through any circumstance that comes into our life. Now, see, I know that my silly scenario of being lowered down into a pit of snakes, the likeliness of that happening is not very high. And I know in a room like this, many of us are facing very real circumstances. Perhaps there's a tension in your family, and you're wondering, how are we going to make it through this? Maybe it's a financial burden that you're carrying, and in your mind, you're thinking, I'm not sure how I'm going to get to the other side. Maybe it's an issue with somebody that you work with, and there's just this tension and this difficulty, and you've just kind of decided, I think that's how the relationship is going to be. Maybe for you, it's a personal struggle, and you've struggled with this for so long, and you thought that you beat it, and now it's here, and it's back in your life, and you're wondering, how am I going to make it through this circumstance? And the passage that I want to dive into this morning clearly tells us who we are so that we will know what to do so that we can make it through any circumstance that comes our way. So if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to Romans. It's found in the New Testament. The book of Romans is actually a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Many people would say that this is Paul's opus. It's the longest letter that he wrote to the churches. And he wrote this letter to the church in Rome. And in Romans 8 is this beautiful chapter. And many theologians and scholars have studied this chapter because in all of the Bible, it so clearly communicates God's radical love for us, who God is in our lives, and therefore who we can be because of his love. So we're going to dive in Romans 8 this morning, and we're going to start in verse 31. And if you don't have a Bible, it's up on the screen, and I encourage you to follow along. Romans 8:31 starts out by saying, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" So Paul begins with a question. What then shall we say in response to these things? Well, what are these things? What are the things Paul is speaking about? You would have to go back a couple of verses and you would read that what Paul is speaking about is he's communicating that God is this recycler of every circumstance that comes in our life. So even the things that we would not have written into our story, maybe even the people that we would not have written into our story, God serves as this recycler of all circumstances, that he works everything together for the good of those that love him. So Paul begins by saying, one of the things you need to know about God is that God is this ultimate recycler in your life. The passage goes on and it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So who then is the one who condemns?" And Paul says, "No one." So not only do we hear from Paul that God is this recycler, he goes on and he says, what you also need to know about God is that he is your defender. He will stand for you. He will literally almost serve as this like bodyguard in your life. He wants to make sure that the things that come against you, that he is with you and for you when you are walking through difficult circumstances. So Paul gives us another picture of God. Not only does God recycle everything in our life, all of the circumstances that maybe we would not have chosen, but he is our defender in those circumstances. He stands for us. The passage goes on and it says, Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we could face death all day long. We could be considered as sheep led to the slaughter. So Paul says, not only do you need to know that God is recycling all circumstances in your life, not only do you need to know that he is your defender, nothing can come against you, nothing can separate you from his love, but you need to know that God also is your advocate. He's your advocate. It literally says that he is interceding for us. And what happens here is we get to see the picture of who God is when we face difficult circumstances. He's our recycler, our defender, our advocate. I mean, how about you? When I'm walking through difficult circumstances, I want somebody that I know can recycle it, right? Somebody that can be my defender, somebody that is my advocate. And this is who God is when we walk through difficult circumstances. But what's so amazing about what Paul does in this passage is he says, not only do I want you to know who God is, I now want you to know who you are. In light of who God is, it's important that you understand who you are. And so Paul goes on and he says, so in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Can you say that with me? More than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I mean, this may be one of my most favorite portions of Scripture. Now, if I were to come here next week and preach on another portion of Scripture, I might say the exact same thing. But the fact that I was studying it this past week and preparing for you all, so much of my heart was moved in knowing that I can say that I am more than a conqueror because I know who God is. Because God is this recycler and defender and advocate, I can confidently say, I am more than a conqueror. But the problem with that is I don't think many of us actually live our lives as if we are more than conquerors, do we? My hunch is this past week, when you were, you know, sending off some emails to some different people and it came time for you to sign your name, I bet you did not sign it as more than a conqueror on your email, did you? When you went into Starbucks this week and you ordered your latte and they said to you, you know, what's the name on the order? You probably didn't look at the barista and said, oh, just put more than a conqueror on there. But that is who we are. That is who we are. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And now I'm not recommending that you start signing your emails or you start ordering your Starbucks drinks by giving the name more than conqueror, but can you imagine what your life would be like if you really began to believe, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus. You see, here's the amazing thing. When you know who you are, and let me even say that deeper, when you know whose you are, who you truly belong to, that's when you will know what you can do. When you know who you are, that you are more than a conqueror, that's when you will know what you can do. When I was with you last summer, I shared this question with you, and this question has been such a gift to me in my life. It's a question that kind of redirects me when I'm in the midst of a circumstance that I wonder if I can make it through. And the question is this: I wonder, Crossing, do you talk to God about your circumstances, or do you talk to your circumstances about your God? You know, do you find yourself on a regular basis only talking to God about the circumstances that you're struggling through, the circumstances that you would not have written into your life, the people that you would not have written into your life, the situations and the occurrences that you just find yourself regularly saying to God, I really wish this wasn't here in my life? Or do you talk to your circumstances about your God? You see, I often wonder if God is looking back at us, and I think he delights when we come to him and when we tell him about what is going on in our lives, but I often wonder if God is looking back at us and saying, yep, I know everything. I know everything that's going on in your world. I know everything that is occurring. I love you. I am for you. Remember, I'm the recycler. I'm the defender. I'm the advocate in your life, and I wonder, have you actually said to your circumstances who I am? And have you said to your circumstances who I have told you who you are? That you are more than a conqueror. You see, as I've gotten older and as I've walked with the Lord for so many more years, I've started to realize that some of the primary people that I spend time talking to, I spend a lot of time talking to God, and I spend a lot of time talking to myself. I have lovely conversations with myself. Nobody ever interrupts me. It's glorious. And you see, I regularly speak to myself the truth of Christ. I regularly remind myself who God says I am. Jeannie, you've got this meeting later on this week, and you're worried about it, and you feel some scarcity about it, and you're wondering if you have enough support, you have enough people to help solve this problem. Are you going to go into that meeting with a whole bunch of worry and fear? Or are you going to go into that meeting with peace? Jeannie, you're about to come downstairs, and the odds are quite high. In a matter of 10 minutes, your kids are down there, that you are most likely going to lose your patience. You're going to have an opportunity to choose self-control. You're going to have an opportunity to choose delight and to choose faithfulness. Are you going to walk into that setting, and are you going to be impatient? Are you going to lose your temper in that moment? It's an opportunity for me to remind myself who I am in Christ Jesus. In fact, my hunch is every single one of us has a circumstance or a situation that we're facing right now in our lives, whether it's big, whether it's small. There's probably a spectrum of challenges, a spectrum of circumstances that we're all engaged in right now. In fact, I would love for you all to kind of picture a circumstance in your life that is a bit of a challenge to you. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a family dynamic, maybe, it's a financial thing, but I want you to almost picture in your mind a challenge that you're facing right now. Everybody got one? Everybody kind of thinking through one? I want to ask you a question about that challenge and about that circumstance. Are you living as a victim to that circumstance, or are you living as a victor to that circumstance? Do you feel like you are a victim to that circumstance, or do you feel as though you are a victor to that circumstance? Does the circumstance have more power than the truth that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Let me show you the difference in what I mean about a victim and a victor, and kind of the difference. You see, when we live as victims and circumstances are the conqueror, we tend to view our life through the lens of scarcity, don't we? We just never have enough. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough support. I certainly didn't get enough sleep. Oh gosh, I don't have enough caffeine. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. And we view our circumstance through the lens of scarcity. But when we choose to be a victor, when we choose to be a victor in our circumstances, we view that circumstance and we view ourselves through the lens of abundance. You see, when you are living more than a conqueror and you are living as a victor, there's more than enough. There's more than enough. You can actually confidently sing that song that we sang this morning. Christ is enough. And because I know the one who is enough, I have enough. And so you live in the flow of abundance. You live out the truth every day of your life in John 10:10, where Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. You don't live in scarcity. You live in abundance when you're a victor in your circumstances. When your circumstances have conquered you, another area that you tend to view life through when you're a victim to your circumstance is through the lens of worry. Through the lens of worry. You worry about things that happened in the past. You worry about things that might happen out in the future. You find yourself regularly, you know, borrowing future possibilities, things that haven't happened, and you make them present realities in your mind. That's what worry is. I often tell people that just worry is meditation in the wrong direction. It's constantly living out these what-if scenarios. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? Worry is meditation in the wrong direction. Oftentimes when people say, you know, I struggle with meditating on God's word or I struggle with prayer, I will often say to them, well, you know, do you know how to worry? And they often say, yo, I know how to worry. I'm really good at worry. I'm like, well, then you know how to pray and you know how to meditate. Just turn the direction. Just turn the direction and put your eyes and your focus on Jesus, not your circumstances. But you see, when we live as a victim to our circumstances, worry tends to control our thoughts, doesn't it? But when we live as a victor, peace controls our thoughts. We live with this quality of contentment in our minds. There's just peace. It doesn't mean that you ignore the circumstance. It doesn't even mean that you live in denial of the circumstance. It's that you hold the circumstance in the right space of peace in your mind. You choose to live out Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound like a gorgeous way to live? Such a peaceful way to be in relationship with the circumstances of our lives. You see, when we live as a victim, we're often distracted through our circumstances. And not only are we distracted by our circumstances, but oftentimes we want to distract ourselves from having to think about our circumstances. And so oftentimes we'll create all kinds of behaviors so that we can numb ourselves away from the circumstance that we're dealing with. I think that this is why social media is such a challenge for so many of us. Because it's a way for us to just turn our minds off on our own lives and then compare ourselves to the life of another. And when we are a victim to our circumstance, we often try to distract ourselves away from that circumstance. But when you choose to live as a victor in your circumstance, you don't choose distraction, you actually choose discipline in your life. You discipline yourself to walk through the challenging circumstance. You discipline yourself. You take responsibility. You get disciplined in your circumstances. And I wonder, are you waiting for what you want, or are you working out your life with what you have? You see, oftentimes when we're distracted, victims are just waiting for the circumstance to change. But victors decide, I'm going to work out this circumstance with what I have. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So you see the difference between what it looks like to be a victim to your circumstance and what it looks like to be a victor to your circumstance. And I saw this so clearly in my life just a little bit ago. I had joined this new gym. It's a new gym, and I know you have them here, called Orange Theory. Have you heard of this gym? Yeah, so I joined this new gym, and I was all excited about going. And, you know, you ever have those workouts where, you know, you just feel great? The instructor says the class is almost over and it feels like, you know, you've only been going for 10 minutes, right? You just feel like you could run faster, you could do more, you're feeling awesome, you know, you're super encouraged and motivated and feeling empowered. Well, I was not having one of those workouts, okay? I was having the other kind of workout, which I'm sure you are familiar with those kinds of workouts, right? Where you get on the treadmill and it just feels like every minute is an hour long. You can't wait to get out of the class. And I was on the treadmill, and I mean, I was living as a victim in my mind to this workout. I felt like the treadmill was against me, like it had a grudge against me or something. I was mad at the instructor because I didn't think she picked very good music. Right? I was going through everything that I did wrong the day before. I didn't have enough protein. I didn't get enough sleep. Oh gosh, I drink way too much coffee. I should have way more water, right? And I'm just going through this on the treadmill. And what made it worse was the guy next to me was having the workout of his life, right? And I mean, this guy, I swear, he was trying to qualify for the Olympics on the treadmill next to me. And he was just doing great. Every time she said to run at a 5, he would go at a 5.5. Every time she said to climb a hill at a 6, he'd climb the hill at a 6.5, right? And he was just a classic overachiever trying to rub it in next to me, right? And so this guy's having the workout of his life, and I'm having the worst workout of my life. And I knew that I had walked in that day and I was distracted by some situations that were going on in my life, some things that I was worried about that were out in the future. So I was kind of marinating on my worries and making all of these future possibilities my present realities. I was kind of living in my mind through the lens of scarcity, and it was just occurring right there on the treadmill while I was working out. And I was getting lost and burying myself in these victim thoughts. And I'm there and I'm running and I'm going through the workout. And all of a sudden, the music changed. And the instructor, you know, shifted the playlist. And I'm there on the treadmill and the music shifts. And I was like, wait a minute. I think this is true. I am a firework. I'm not just a firework, I'm more than a conqueror. And I can do this. And I start running, and the instructor's like, all right, let's take it up to a 5. And I'm like, I'm going to a 5.5. She's like, let's do a hill at a 6. And I'm like, I'm doing a hill at a 6.5. She's like, now combine it all. Let's go up to a 7. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm good right there at the 7. This is where I stop. This is where I stop. I know my limits, right? And I was feeling just like this, totally out of breath. And I go up to the water fountain at the end, and Mr. Olympic is there, and he's filling up his water bottle with me. And he looks at me, and he's like, hey, way to go. You really turned that workout around. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was like writing a comment card. He should never be allowed back at Orange Theory classes, right? And I know in a room like this, we can giggle and we can laugh and we can almost have a moment of levity in a story of me on a treadmill and a shift and a, you know, my mind turning in that moment. But I know that there are so many challenges here in this room. So many experiences where people are feeling like they are a victim to their circumstance. And everything in your mind is going, if only that was my life. If only it was just me, you know, shifting my mindset. But if you knew the circumstance that I was facing, I know that there are people in this room and you are struggling. You are so longing to have a child. There are people in this room and you are so longing to find the person, your partner, that you're gonna walk through life with. There are others that feel buried under a financial burden. Others that feel like there's a family dynamic, a situation that you're experiencing and you're wondering to yourself, I don't know how I'm gonna make it through. There are some of you, and maybe it's not you, but it's a family member or a close friend, and you're waiting on a diagnosis, and everything in your heart just feels so much fear, wondering, how is this gonna change our reality? And friends, what I most want you to hear is I don't want you to hear, you know, me come here and tell you this fun story about, you know, Katy Perry being like the Holy Spirit to me on the treadmill. And some kind of inspirational message that says to you, just remember, church, just choose to be more than a conqueror. It doesn't matter. That's the last thing that I want you to hear me say today. Because I know that grief is real, and I know that loss is real. I know that opposition is real. I know that loneliness is real. I know that addiction is real. And what I most want you to hear me say is that being more than a conqueror does not give you a free pass out of those circumstances, but being more than a conqueror reminds you that Jesus is with you in all of those circumstances. And that is our good news today. That is our good news, that no matter any circumstance you are walking through, you can be more than a conqueror because you have Jesus with you. You know, you may be going through something, but the good news is that you're going through. Amen? You're going through. There's not a single one of us in this room or at our other campuses today that is in the same place that we once were. Jesus has been carrying us through. And some of you, that is the most hopeful word you need to hear today. You're going through. You're going through. I love Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And friends, there are some of you here today, you need to be reminded the water is not going to pass over you. You need to be reminded of that hope today. You need to be reminded of the hope that these waters will not get too high. Jesus is the recycler. He's the advocate. He's the defender. And because of that, you are more than a conqueror. And I know in a room like this, there are so many of us that we just want to get where God wants us to go. But here's the hope. God wants you to get where God wants you to go way more than you want to get where you want to go. He is for you. And if he is for you, nothing can be against you. And he makes us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So the way that I would love to close today is that I would love to pray for you. And my hunch is there are some people here in this space and you are going through. You're going through. And I would love to be able to pray for you this morning. Pray the peace of Christ. Pray the abundance of Christ into your life. And so I want to invite you to stand here at this campus and at our other campuses. And if you find yourself as someone that is going through, I would love for you to just put your hand up, and you need to know that my hand is raised with you. You're not alone. So many of us are going through. We say at Soul City Church every Sunday when we pray, we often pray with our hands open at Soul City Church because we often say that we want our bodies to declare what our hearts are saying. We want to be able to communicate to God with all of who we are, our need and our desperation and our surrendering to Him. So if you find yourself in a season right now where you are going through, I just want to invite you to put your hand up so that I can pray for you right now. And Jesus, we come before you. And we are so grateful that you are the ultimate recycler in our lives, that you are our defender, you are our advocate. And because of that, we can cling to the truth that in you we are more than conquerors. And Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room and at our other campuses. Jesus, I pray that you would hold them together with your hope and your love and your grace and your mercy. And you would remind us deep within our souls today that you are the one that carries us through, that we no longer need to see ourselves as victims, but we can be victors in Jesus. And we cling to this hope and we cling to this truth today. We love you and we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So wonderful to be with you, Crossing family. Take care.